So, I recently found this new book on purgatory called The Secrets of Purgatory, and it is written by an unknown author, a young woman living in seclusion in the Alps. It is from Refuge of Sinners Publishing. It has the imprimatur, so it checks out, and it is utterly amazing. She reveals several secrets that she learned during this illumination of conscious experience that she had. Today, we're going to go into the souls in purgatory that suffer the most, and you need to learn about them because you can either pray for them or be aware that you might be one of them. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. There are also souls in purgatory who had great wisdom and learning in this life, who were famous, who did much good for their fellow men, who upheld all righteousness and justice. However, they performed these actions because of ambitious motives. They were entirely permeated with the spirit of the world, living a selfish and independent life while completely ignoring their Lord and Creator. These souls enter eternity with the least knowledge of God. On earth, they were well-versed in everything. Now they find themselves in the greatest quandaries. Formerly, they were so highly educated, and now they know nothing. For God reveals the truly great things only to the humble. Such wise men often have shallow souls. They frequently remain a long time in purgatory until they have been liberated from their ego, until they are aroused from their slumber, until they lose all concern for themselves. They lie dead and lifeless in their shroud until light everlasting finally penetrates through their windings to the interior. These are the most helpless souls, for they have so much of the world and self in them. As soon as they begin to awaken, the light can commence to purify them more and more. Then it is that these souls become more receptive to the benefits of prayers, holy masses, and good works which men offer to God on their behalf. For the first time since their creation, these souls realize that they are in dire need of God. While on earth, they found little use for Him. As soon as they wake up and realize this and taste remorse, they become happy. But until such an awakening, they suffer excruciatingly and remain in their heavy shroud without light or air. There are in purgatory wise men who stood in great repute among worldlings, but now they find themselves greatly perplexed. For there the smallest and poorest child is often wiser than they. Again, this truth comes to light. God reveals great things to the humble. Now, if it's ever been the case that you have looked at someone out there that possessed incredible knowledge and you were envious or you thought, I wish I was as smart as them, this is incredibly consoling to you because the mysteries that God reveals to us that often we can't learn in school, that no one really is there to teach us except the Holy Spirit whispering in our hearts, that we can come to eternity with more valuable knowledge than what others out there know. And if you feel your heart moved with pity for these souls, you can run to their aid and pray for them. Because imagine if they knew nothing of God during life, do they have anyone praying for them? Most likely not. Let's continue. In His judgment, the Lord is infinitely merciful. He purifies and preserves immaculate, the truly good qualities which the soul possesses, in order to reward the soul everlastingly for them. And when so many faults and failings still occur, God does not allow the good to be lost. For He esteems every act, even the smallest offering, very highly. Ah, yes, if only we could recognize as the Lord does all the good which He has bestowed on us. This is one of the themes that goes throughout the book, that we are completely unaware of how tenderly God looks at the small things that we do for Him, as well as the middle and the great things that we do. And there is this great theme of this ingratitude that we are being freed from in purgatory. Oh, how much shame must we experience before God because of our ingratitude. In purgatory, we will have to acknowledge all the good things that we have received from Him and thank Him in return. Once again, shall every event of the soul's earthly life pass before it, and everything must be fully atoned for. Now, the next group is one I think that is particularly interesting for us that we really need to be aware of. Souls who were pious and devout on earth on account of the esteem they thereby receive from men, suffer the pains of purgatory for a long time. I behold many souls in purgatory whose desire to become saints was motivated by self-will and self-love, or who devoted themselves assiduously to the interior life in order to please their confessors and spiritual directors, whose only motive was not God, but their own glorification, their own egoism. So the intentions with which we do anything and everything, especially spiritual things, is crucial for us to reflect on and to purify. Yes, these souls who practice piety, but who were not humble, who wanted to see no faults in themselves, who self-confidently thought that their way of living was the best possible, souls who perform deeds of penance in proud imitation of the saints, not in humility and repentance. Such imitation appears real, but God cannot be deceived. These are souls who had a proud desire to become holy, who continually looked at the number of their mortifications and sacrifices as in a mirror. And reading this part, this was incredibly true of myself, possibly for many years. They could do great things, but neglected the small, most important duties. Such souls are indeed deep in the flames of purgatory. Their whole life was one prolonged deception. Oh, how much the eternal truth now burns and consumes them. God is not pleased with them, and the souls experience this in great torment and anguish. But they still need these excruciating pains before they can become repentant as God wants them to be, before their proud self can be humbled. As soon as the dispositions of repentance and humility are aroused, these souls will be thoroughly cleansed until the time when God's grace will lead them out into the clear air of self-knowledge, where they will no longer love themselves, but only Jesus. These experiences terrified me greatly, and I learned from them to be careful and cautious. No longer do I seek anything great in souls, but only littleness and simplicity. This sounds incredibly like Saint Therese of Lisieux. I myself have learned more and more to be very small and simple. Oh, there are even now souls in purgatory who have deceived others. Alas, no one prays for them because they were considered so pious here on earth. Oh, these miserable ones. Jesus has whispered to me that I am to pray for these since others believe them to be in heaven. And this is perhaps a group that you are being called to pray for. Souls in purgatory that people believe are in heaven, but in fact are not. These souls who are so self-satisfied must inevitably sense the fire of humiliation. If a soul, however pious and well acquainted with the works of the saints, is not humble and repentant, then even so-called virtues are false. Yes, this has been a great lesson for me. Even virtues are purified and cleansed in purgatory. How often virtues are stained and sullied, especially when the grace of the Holy Spirit does not accompany them, when they are purely natural. Virtues are stainless and untainted if they display prudence and moderation, if they are not one-sided, and come from a heart humble and blazing with love. In short, virtues are pure only when the guidance of the Holy Spirit is not lacking. In practicing virtues, we must live or act not for ourselves, for virtues have many little vices attached to them. So even in our attempts to be holy, the intention matters incredibly. Therefore, even virtues must be cleansed. Very often our egoism stains and contaminates the workings of grace and virtue. When virtues are adorned with the holy fear of God, then only do they become pure. Man must continually turn to God and say, now listen to this prayer, very simple, O Savior, help me to do always what is pleasing to Thee. No one receives divine aid and mercy so readily and surely as such a soul who distrusts itself. No one can be so much at rest in his soul as he who is repentant and anxious to please the dear Lord in every way possible. The burning desire to do everything just as Jesus wants it makes the soul pure and stainless. Only in Jesus, only by trusting him, can one be secure and at peace. This I have learned in purgatory, and this is my truest consolation. Because of my experience in purgatory, I have become much more concerned about the condition of my soul. But Jesus has shown the way to me, goodwill, contrition, and resignation. Ah, yes, it is better to be hard on self now than to suffer in eternity. Much there for us to contemplate and to meditate on. Over the next few days, I will be releasing videos going through the different sections, the other secrets, as she says them, that she learns from purgatory. God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.